Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa, and it's December 27th, so I know that everybody has probably eaten well, had a lot of good family time, and so we are ramping up for this new year and very, very excited about it. Lisa, I know just in this new year, you and I are going to be, well, we start out in Singapore, then we go to Vietnam, then we go to Indonesia, then I go to New Zealand, Australia, and then we go to Egypt, and then we go to Israel, and then you go to Russia. That's all between now and the end of February. What have we done? I feel like Rob Burbeck right now. So on our program today is our international director and our dear, dear friend, Rob Burbeck. Rob is originally from Zimbabwe. So if you didn't listen to the last podcast, you're going to hear the most magnificent accent. He was originally on the CIA of Zimbabwe, which is called the CIO. Yes, that's right. And then worked for Reinhard Bonnke for several years, 22 to 25 years. And then for the last 7 years, he's been with us. And we just love you being with us. And I read a scripture this morning in my time with the Lord, and this describes Rob's life. Paul said, "We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God." Here's how he does it. "We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth." That right there is a list of Rob Burbeck's life. He has covered everything I read in there. He has been put in prison. He has had angry mobs. His life has been in jeopardy. Yes. Bullets, physical bullet shot. So, Rob, it's just an honor to work with you and to have you here sitting next to us, and we love you so very much. But just so you can have a background, our partners of Messenger International. And boy, Lisa, I almost tear up when I think of our partners. Our partners are so generous.
They're some of the most generous people.
They really are. And it's because of them that we've been able to help pastors and leaders all over the world. But what's happening around the world through the generosity of our friends and partners, Rob? Would you just share with us?
John, I can say I'm probably the most privileged guy in the world. I have the great privilege of taking our partners' seed and sowing it into the nations of the world.
You know, well said.
I know many of our partners will never see what I see, meet the people that I meet, or see the impact of the seed that they sow. You know, whether it's just in support, whether it's faithful prayer, whether it's actual financial giving, I have the privilege of actually going into those places, preparing those resources, and seeing that they're distributed strategically to key leaders. I really see the impact. And going back year after year to some of these countries, I see the bridge of unity that it's being developed. I see the strength of leaders. I see that they're changing in character, and they're becoming more and more open and more receptive to positive teachings. You know, John, I can honestly say that going to some countries where just 20 years ago there was no church, no Bible, no Christians, other than probably just a handful who didn't even know each other, to today, maybe 4 years or 5 years later, and you see a church of 120,000, hundreds of thousands of people believing God in China, and you see that a lot of that is because of the seed that we sow. You know, in some nations, there are just simply no other resources. There's probably one little bookshop, which has very little. And, I mean, if you look at Vietnam, we are the largest distributors of Christian resources in the country, period. And that surely has an impact. And when you see those people, when you feel their receptiveness, when you see them transform because of the seeds that we sow through the generosity of our partners, it is the most fulfilling thing I could ever do.
I know we experienced that in Mongolia, and we 26 years ago, there was 4 Christians in Mongolia. Is
That's
that correct?
Right. It's 4 Christians.
And they had never had more than a few hundred leaders gather together, but because of our partners.
Had they even had that many? I mean, from what I understand, the churches are very spread out in Mongolia, and they were in awe of seeing one another.
Yes.
I mean, it's just you know, and I don't mean to interject, but I want our partners to know that we went to Mongolia, but we had been seeding that soil for a really long time. When did we first start sowing into Mongolia? Because that was a strategy that you brought to the table about going there.
Yeah, this was about 3 years ago we started there. We've done four different resources. And every single time we've done a resource there, the Beta Satan, the Holy Spirit, and all of those resources, as a result of the giving of our partners, demands have been greatly over what we could supply. And we have a team there who are absolutely dynamic. It's a vast country. Some of the churches are literally days apart. And I visited some of those churches in isolated areas where they don't even see another Christian.
What would be the largest church you've found in Mongolia?
The largest church I visited was probably only about 250 people in one venue. But they are so spread out. And that's a mega church. You know, when you go and speak in that church, wow, it's packed. The walls are packed. Every seat is double seated. It's incredible. People are sitting on the floor. Such is the hunger.
I got to tell you, I was really nervous Thursday praying. We had rented the largest hall in the nation. Seats 3,500, is that right? 3,200?
3,550 seats.
Okay, 3,550. It was completely
dilapidated.
Dilapidated. Yes. You had to put in a new ceiling, carpet, paint. You had to put toilets in. You had to put sinks in. And you arranged that to have them do it. So they basically got a good building out of it now. But I remember thinking, okay, a couple hundred leaders, largest church, 250. God, what have we done? Because we invested so much in this time, finances. And to walk in there that night and see 5,000 leaders, probably anywhere from 4,500 to 5,000.
People sitting two to one seat.
Yeah. Yeah, the fire marshals would have shut it down in a heartbeat in America because there was no aisles left. They were standing all around. They were out in the foyer. I mean, it was amazing. But do you know what I saw, Rob? And correct me if I'm wrong, and I haven't said this very much, but you know, when God told us to give these resources away on May the 31st, 2010, I knew that pastors were desperate for revelation teaching to build their churches. And I knew that's why God said to do it. What I didn't realize would happen is the unity it would bring into nations. We had them from every different stream. I mean, I was talking to guys that were like, well, we're Pentecostal. Then they were like, we're Baptist, we're this. And yet the greatest move, one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit I've experienced in my life literally happened on the last night where they all just started standing up spontaneously and shouting to the Lord. It was like a wave of the Spirit came in the building, lasted 15, 20 minutes.
And we need to be really clear. Like in America, you're like, oh yeah, that's what we look like every Saturday. No, that is something they'd never see modeled.
Right.
Yeah, it was not like something they had seen. So for them to do that from so many diverse backgrounds and to all begin to cry out to Jesus, because that's what they were crying out for. They were crying out to Jesus. You know, I was astounded, and I only saw it by video. It was amazing. You know, our youngest son said it was the single most profound moment of the presence of God he'd ever experienced.
He still talks about it. So this is what our partners have been doing, and this is what you've been doing. I feel like Lisa and I have the easy part. You know, I really do. I mean, I feel like...
We do.
I feel like our partners that have given without ever meeting these people, they're champions. Then I look at these pastors that travel hours and hours and go through all that they go through. I mean, we're looking at people that were on trains for like, what was it, like 12 hours? I can't remember what it was. It was hours.
It's like 400 kilometers.
400 kilometers.
Yeah. Even further, John, there are people that drove for days, literally. And there were people that came to the conference that had never been to the capital city. And when they walked into the conference and they saw so many people there, they just couldn't believe there were so many Christians in Mongolia.
And that, to me, was a big thing.
They knew they weren't alone.
They knew they weren't alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when the dancers came on, when the singing started, they had never experienced such incredible praise and worship before. They didn't want to stop. They were standing there in tears. And, I mean, the Lord commands his blessing where there's unity. And that was one thing I saw there. We had church. There's not one single church that I know of that declined our invitation or didn't send a representative. Every single church sent their leaders. Every single church that we know of or dealt with. And that, like you say, was such a diversity of streams. But when they came in that building, there was no diversity. They were one mind unto God. And when that worship started, boy, I've never seen so many spirit-filled people fall to their knees, stand and worship the Lord. It was an awesome event. I've seen great things in my life, but that was certainly an incredible thing I'll never forget.
I just remember, it was such a contrast to what we get to see in the United States. And I'm not criticizing our nation, but these people were crying because they were dancing, that they had a chance to worship with their brothers and sisters, that they had a chance to perform. And I literally felt like Rob having strategically said, Mongolia, it's time for them. I really felt like they woke up that night when they were yelling Jesus and they remembered what their heritage was. And when they did that dance where the Mongolian dancers did the dance for each of the nations that they have gone as ambassadors for Jesus Christ to go into the world and make disciples, when they did that dance for Russia and Afghanistan, and they did this India, all these different things, and they told the story, I just wept the whole time. This is not a nation of people that are just looking for a handout. They woke up and they remembered who they were and the mandate on their life that they were a conquering nation and that now they were going to go out and they were going to conquer for Christ. It was historic. I really think that only eternity is going to show what our partners' generosity did, because that region will never be the same. And John and I, Rob, we were like, why are they taking an offering? Why are they taking
I was just going to mention
offering?
That.
Yeah. Well,
I was
go
actually
ahead,
a little
that.
Upset. I was like, why are they taking an offering? We've paid for everything. I mean, our partners have paid for everything. And Rob said, just watch, John, just watch. And they announced it on the last night that they took the offering to give to the Inner Mongolians, which are a very persecuted people. We had never reached them before. They want to be able to present to them the Beta Satan book because they read in Cyrillic. Am I saying that right? Cyrillic?
No, it's vertical Mongolian. It's an old
Well,
script.
No, I'm sorry. In Mongolia, they read Cyrillic.
Cyrillic.
Cyrillic. And in Inner Mongolia, they read vertical. Cyrillic is like we read, it's horizontal. But the Inner Mongolians read vertical, and it's a different characters.
It's a whole different font,
So we've not been able to reach them. And what it reminded me of is the Macedonians, when Paul said they gave and gave beyond their ability because of the grace of God on them, to give to the saints in Jerusalem. I'm like, wow, these people, here they are, just barely having anything. I mean, they live in tents. And yet, you know, one third of the population lives in a what's it called again?
A ger.
Okay, which is basically a tent.
A lot
okay?
of people might know it as a hurt, but it's a ger.
Yeah, but they here they are living in tents, and they gave $8,000. To be able to give the Inner Mongolians the Beta Satan. Wow.
And we talked about them gathering, but they didn't just gather in one place and hear preaching. We seated them while they were there. How many books did we seed, Rob, while we were in Mongolia?
While we were there at the conference, we distributed 10,000 copies of John's latest curriculum, Good or God. And we had them prepared for pastors. Any pastor that had come from outside the city, they got a pack of four to take back to their leaders who couldn't come to the conference.
And I'm going to tell you, they were carrying it out of the building like it was a newborn baby. They carried it with such care and treasure. So we saw them leaving with things, but I got to see actually the fruit of what had already been. There was this beautiful elderly woman who was one of the church leaders who had come from one of the outer regions. And she had a Beta of Satan book that was well-loved. But, I mean, it was, you know, had been hers. And through the translator, they told me, thank you so much for giving us this book. Thank you for seeing us, that we felt like nobody saw us. Thank you. And so I went to sign her book and she was like, no, you don't sign my book. My book is too precious. And then she had a whole notebook. And I take notes. I'm not talking about casual notes. I'm talking about detail, line upon line, where she had almost rewritten the book Beta Satan in their language. And she pointed to a small portion that was blank. It was probably a chapter break. And she said I could sign it there. But I was not to sign the book because the book was too precious, too valuable, too meaningful. And it hit me on such an extreme level that I just put my back up against the wall and said, I will stay here and I will stand and I will hug and I will take pictures and I will do whatever I need to do until they have to carry me away, because these people were so gracious. And you know, we could have sown more. And again, there's just no entitlement. There's no entitlement. There was only gratitude.
So grateful.
There was only gratitude. I still also remember as I was leaving one of the meetings, this beautiful woman came and she handed me her earrings, her ring, and her like a pearl that had been on a necklace. And I just put it on my necklace. I just said, that's it. You know, I'm going to wear this and I'm going to remember that these people understand the treasure of that pearl of great price, which is the gospel, which is Jesus. And it was very humbling. It was very humbling, but there's just no way to say their appreciation other than the fact that they would sow into the next nation.
And so I just want to encourage all of our partners. You're a part of this. And we're just hope that the three of us sitting here talking about this can give you an understanding.
And, you know, while we're talking, Rob's crying.
Yeah, I know. He is. He's sitting over here crying right now. But what you're a part of, and I think the reason Rob's crying is Rob gets to see the gratitude in these people all over the world. Mongolia is just one example. And please, please, your financial gifts mean so much to us. But you know what really means a lot to us is your prayers. And on the 10th and the 11th of January, just a couple weeks away, we're going to be in Vietnam having the largest meeting the government has approved in modern history.
Is it not also the first? Like the first time they've approved something? Or is it just the largest?
Of this size.
I'm trying to remember.
It's the first legal conference that they have approved with a foreign speaker in history.
So do you understand the door of opportunity that God has opened up to these beautiful people in Vietnam? I believe the same thing is going to happen in the sense of not exactly identical, because the Holy Spirit always does things fresh and new, but it's going to be that impacting. And it's going to be that impacting because I really believe a lot of you are going to pray. So just remember January 10th and 11th. Please, and it will be January 9th and 10th over here for you if you're in America. Please pray. Please pray that these leaders get an impartation from heaven that will change their nation and region.
You know, and John, here's the thing. We're talking about this as a podcast, but if you want to actually find out visually what it looks like, if you want to find out what you can do to be in part, you say, yeah, I want to specifically pray, or I want to specifically sow. I want to give. They can actually go to the Messenger International website.
It's beautiful.
And they can hear this global story.
Yep.
They can, you know, sow into a nation that they feel very connected with. And again, we can't do any of this without their involvement or without their partnership. And if you, again, would just want to have feedback or know how to get involved, we want to hear from you. You can go to iTunes. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And we want to hear, you know, what you think about Conversations with John and Lisa. And thank you so much for letting us into your world. And babe, you got something to say?
I just want to say one last thing as we leave. I want you to understand that we here know that God has made us all a team. And as we go to Vietnam here in 2 weeks, you're coming with us. You're in our hearts. Thank you for being a part of this team. We're so honored and privileged to serve these nations with you. So thank you again for your financial gifts and for your prayers. We love you so much.